Hadith of the Day. A program from the Call of Islam.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, for I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be thy bread from you no more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to our program, which is called Hadith of the Day, and it's coming to you from COI Radio. Our hadith today is again about dua. We are continuing our discussion on the hadith Qudsi, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our Prophet Isa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. In this hadith, Allah speaks to Hazrat Isa and he says, Ya Isa, O Isa, ud'uni du'a al-hazin al-ghareeb. Call to me with the prayer of the person who is hazin and ghareeb. Alladhi laysa lahu mughith. The person who has no helper and no one to assist them. We were talking about the adab of du'a and the things that we have been instructed to do when we're making du'a. There's one that's very, very important to keep in mind, because remember, dua has been described to us as the weapon of the believer. Dua is very powerful, and Allah likes those who make more dua and rely on Him more and never consider themselves free of need of Allah. This is what the hadith says. Ad-du'a silahul mu'min. Dua is the weapon of the believer. So now when we want to use this powerful weapon, which is sometimes described as the weapon of the anbiya, the weapon of the prophets, there are some rules or some adab or some manners that we should follow. One of the most important ones, and this one a lot of times we have a tendency to neglect, is that we have to create the grounds for the dua to be answered. There's sometimes when we would like to be lazy, we want to not do what's our responsibility and sit back and pray, and tell ourselves that if I pray and I make dua, then I'm acting in accordance with those hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, and now I just expect that Allah will open doors for me miraculously, which is not the correct perspective. What we want to say is that you and I, we have the responsibility for creating the grounds for the dua to be answered. We have to do everything that's in our ability to create the grounds for the dua to be answered, and then yes, we do expect miraculous help from God. We expect Allah to open doors which no man can close. But it's not that we sit back and we don't make any effort and we just expect Allah to, you know, make miracles happen for us. We try everything, and then after that, then we sit back and we say, oh Allah, please, you make it happen for me. So when we've done that, which is a very important part, setting the grounds in motion, at this stage we want to trust in Allah's timing. This one's sometimes difficult for us. Sometimes we think that because I made dua, I expect it to happen immediately. And otherwise, I lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes I get angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because in my own short-sightedness, I think that Allah should have responded immediately. We want to trust in Allah's timing. Sometimes when Hazrat Musa made dua against Fir'aun, it's mentioned, they said that it took 40 years for the dua to be answered. 40 years for the dua to be answered. So we want to trust in Allah's timing. But at the same time, I don't mean, we still want to remember the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, who says, when you pray, then expect that your dua, that your need is at the door. So you want to pray with the idea that Allah has immediately gone to work. But I know Allah knows better than I do. Allah cares more about me than I care about myself. More about me than I care about myself. So I trust His timing. Sometimes we're kind of strangers when it comes to God. We don't think about God or know God the way we should. Let me give you a little story about strangers. They say that there was a woman who was waiting to get on an airplane. And when she was waiting to get on the airplane, she went and she bought herself some cookies, and she got out a novel, and she started to read that novel and eat her cookies. And there was a stranger sitting right next door. So to her surprise, she noticed as she's reading the book, the stranger reached into her packet of cookies and took a cookie. She was shocked. She looked over at that stranger. How can you be taking cookies? She got her own cookie. The stranger got another cookie. Now she was really infuriated. She got her last cookie. Then she noticed that the stranger offered her the last cookie afterwards. She was so upset. She rushed into the airplane. Couldn't believe how terrible this person was. Then she opened up her purse and she saw there was an unopened bag of cookies. She was eating somebody else's cookies. Sometimes when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we deal with Allah like he's a stranger. We don't know his intentions. We don't think that Allah's on our side. That's why we can sometimes get angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have in hadith, this is from Imam Qadim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that trusting in Allah has levels, darajat, levels. And he says one of those levels is that you trust that Allah will never hold back something that's good for you. It will never be the case that you've done everything that you should have, that it would be right for Allah to give this to you, and just out of Allah's own stinginess, Allah just says, let this servant suffer. That's not the case. We serve a very kind and loving God. So we want to trust his timing and believe that actually, if I do my part, then Allah is definitely going to do his part. So we want to work on creating that kind of a relationship with Allah and working towards Allah in that way, believing that Allah is going to help us and that Allah is going to assist us. The other thing that we want to believe is that Allah doesn't put a burden on us that's greater than we can bear. Sometimes the reason that Allah is not answering the dua for you yet is that Allah has to train you or teach you something. But at that time, while this training and teaching is happening for us, apparently we're going through difficulty. Allah has made us go through difficulty. But Allah doesn't put any burden on us that's greater than we can bear. If we know that, then we can look up and look at Allah and we say, okay, well, Allah, I know you've heard my dua. I know that you've known that if there's anything else that I should be doing that I haven't done, I hope that you guide me to that. At the same time, I trust in your timing, and I know that this situation which I'm in, which is very difficult, is not something which is beyond what I can bear. I don't have to lose hope. And we have mentioned that when difficulty reaches its climax, that's when the help and assistance of Allah comes. So we don't want to lose hope. We want to pray expecting that. We want to know that while we're going through the difficulty, it's not too much for us. Allah's on our side. Allah's going to defend us. Allah's going to help us. And with that, we expect that Allah will answer our prayers. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, so I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more. No more.